Today is going to be a continuation off of Pastor Joyce's sermon last week, which was a continuation off of Pastor Jamie's sermon before. So you can see God just keeps evolving with this message. So the title of today's sermon is Jesus Meets Us. And that's always been something that has boggled my mind, and I'm still not sure if I have my head fully wrapped around the fact that Jesus meets you wherever you are, and that Jesus wants to meet you wherever you are, and that Jesus wants to be in your life, each and every one of us. So when God and I were talking and I got to preach about Jesus meets us, I was super excited. So last week, Pastor Joyce talked about her trial within a church community drought, and that she couldn't find her church community. And she kept her relationship with God, but it just went so far. And she really longed to have that church community. So she took us back to October of 1993 when she received a call inviting her to open a church focused on Christ as the cornerstone, a place where all are welcome, where all are accepted, a place where folks can be free to worship and explore their relationship with God, leading to spiritual enrichment and growth. She spoke about each one of us having our once, a time we may have felt rejected or cast out or cast aside or being unworthy or not feeling valued. Yet, God calls us something else. And she read to us 1 Peter 2:5, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are holy priests. Towards the end of her sermon, she challenged us to meditate on 1 Corinthians 15:58, which is a challenge because we had 15:13 everywhere. So that thanks for that challenge, too. So 15:58 over the next quarter. So if you were also challenged to find the description she challenged us on, it's 1 Corinthians 15:58. And it reads this: so, dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. So that's the recap. Here's the message for today. For someone who may not be feeling like a holy priest or an immovable stone, or in a place you don't think you can get out of, or maybe you're feeling a little stale, or maybe you don't know what you're feeling, Jesus will meet you where you are. He did it all the time. Jesus met people where they were, accepted them, but did not accept that was where they would always be. Always challenged us to grow. Always met somebody where they were. But then challenged them to growth. What do you want? I want to be closer. Sell all your possessions. Didn't judge. Met. Accepted them. But then challenged to grow. Spiritual enrichment and growth. Luke 7:36 through 50, he goes to dinner at a Pharisee's house upon request. And his feet get washed and anointed by a woman. He taught them both, and he healed at least one of them. We don't really understand what happens to the Pharisee after that. But the woman was forgiven. Luke 8, he meets a demon-possessed man, a woman who had been bleeding for over a decade, and encounters a man who just got news that his daughter died. Jesus engaged with them, even though he was on his way somewhere else. He stops. Meets us where we are, side of the road, in our homes, on the street, in our pain, in our joy, in our sorrows, in our successes. Jesus meets us where we are. When we are growing, when we are stale, Jesus meets us. Jesus met me where I was many years ago, and still does, by the way. It's not a one and done. You don't get one encounter. Isn't that great? You get a lifetime of encounters. It was the summer of 2006, after a year and a half of God prodding me to come to this church. I finally stepped foot in the doors of this church and encountered Jesus meeting me in various ways. But before I share a bit more about my story, We're going to read about Zacchaeus and his story in Luke 19, 1 through 9. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass by. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." Is that awesome? So there's a woman named Tosh. She was a broken, angry, closed-off alcoholic. She lived within the region of Christ the Cornerstone Church. She would try to get a look at Jesus in her life, but was too short-sighted to see over herself and life circumstances. So she got some courage and one day pressed through the streets of St. Pete and climbed her sycamore tree and opened the door of Christ the Cornerstone Church so she could see Jesus in her life. Jesus met her that day right in this sanctuary. At that time, it made her very conflicted with a mix of joy and anger. As how would Jesus take me back? I'm a notorious sinner. And I had walked away. I longed to see Jesus, but didn't think that I could see Jesus anymore. Because of what I've done, what I didn't do, shoulda, woulda, couldas, all those things. It took me more than a dinner to give up my wealth and give back four times as much. Jesus had to meet with me a lot. And he met Pastor Joyce and Pastor Wanda, who no longer serves at this church, and Pastor Lisa, and others in this church with patience as they watched me on the cusp of growth, to watch me stumble and fall over and over and over again. Like the story in Zacchaeus, there was no major lecture or point in my two-year-long dinner. In my dinner composed of pretty much two pieces I can bucket it in. About over a year was healing, and about under a year was learning how to commit my life to God and what that really meant. So my dinner with Jesus before I gave up and fully committed myself to serving the Lord, it was more as I can imagine, but can't point to the Bible as it's silent to this at this dinner. Conversations that ebb and flow. You talk a little bit about the food. You might talk a little bit about the drink. But then maybe you go into deeper conversations about life. Until the moment I truly committed to giving up my wealth and giving four times back, I'm not going to go into that much detail, but I do want to give you a little bit of context. I refused to give anyone a hug for almost 2 years. I brought the fist bump to Cornerstone. Jane remembers. Arm's length, fist bump too, better not be close in. Let's keep it arm's length away. There were rare exceptions to that rule. There was about one person that had that exception. There was something in her eyes. I knew the first day I walked through here, she wasn't accepting a fist bump. And that was a warm hug that also filled me with joy and anger. I often showed up to Bible study drunk. Pastor Joyce has described my eyes as dark and empty when I first walked through these doors. I was hardened and cold. But that was all a front of protection. No one in this church pushed my boundaries or approached me about my drinking problem and other issues. That was just one. Until such time as God saw fit. And then God released them of their patient cuffs. One, Pastor Wanda, she didn't like the music I listened to, and I would listen to it loud with my windows down. She didn't have anything against heavy metal, but she had something against the message that she would hear as I came flying through the parking lot. So she introduced me to a band, Skillet, very calmly, and just was like, hey, here's a heavy metal band you might like. Very calmly. Pastor Joyce, I got to applaud you for your discipline with your patient handcuffs. Every now and then over that 2 years, she would just walk up to me, put her hand on my shoulder, and kind of shake. But then she would look at me, and we would have the standoff. And we just kind of stare at each other. Picture like a wild animal, and they're like stuck. And like you're just trying to go over as a human to help them. And they're like, I feel like you're here to help me. But also, what's happening here? And then her mouth would slowly open. And then it is as if Jesus was helping her and would just slowly close her mouth. Because she'd be like. And then she'd just walk away. And I'd get this pit in my stomach. And then she'd walk away. And I'd be like, I better find something to do. If I'm busy, she can't get me. Or I'd leave. But your discipline, I got to applaud you for that. If you know Pastor Joyce, she doesn't keep her mouth shut that often. So I knew it had to be Jesus. When she got something to say. And a few years ago, Pastor Lisa and I were chatting about this time in my life. And I asked her why no one said anything to me if they knew that I was drunk at Bible study. Who does that, right? And she essentially told me because they knew that I wasn't ready. And that if they said anything to me, they would scare me off. And I might never step foot through these doors again. And so she just kept offering me water. I would basically walk through the door. And Pastor Lisa would get up and go fill a styrofoam cup of water and bring it to me and say, it's good to see you. She's like, didn't you ever notice that I would bring you a cup of water? And throughout Bible study, when she noticed it was empty, she would offer to refill that cup. Every time I came to Bible study, hoping that I would be sober to drive home. This church, my sycamore tree, has saved my life by allowing a place where I can see Jesus. Allowing a place that I am not afraid, because I'm not perfect, but a work in progress, committed to enthusiastically work for the Lord. This is a place that we want to foster an environment of spiritual enrichment and growth. That means we need to be like Jesus and meet people where they are, accept them where they are, and follow God's guidance on how to serve them, even when it's bringing them water for a year, when you want to do so much more. Believe me, there is so much more behind that cup of water. Luke 19:10, for the Son of God came to seek and to save those who are lost. And we'll close out with our meditation scripture for the next quarter, 1 Corinthians 15:58. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know nothing that you do for the Lord is ever useless. Church, bring somebody a cup of water. Fist bump if they're uncomfortable with a hug. And understand if you're the exception to that and you need to push through and give that person a hug. Meet people where they are so they can see Jesus Jesus is the only one that can save us. Nothing you do for the Lord is useless and may save someone's life and may propel that person to have a relationship with Jesus and live their best life while they're here on earth. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, God, for all the opportunities that you bring in our life to enthusiastically serve you, God. And we pray, God, that we don't get short-sighted and think that a cup of water isn't a big deal to you. That being quiet in a moment and just letting somebody know that you're there isn't useless. That it's these small things that we can do to show people that we meet them where they are, we accept them where they are, God, so that they can see you, so you can move in their life. And we can get out of the way and watch you grow somebody, watch you heal somebody, watch you build that person's spiritual life and enrich their life, God, with your light and your love and your mercy and your grace. In your precious and glorious name we pray. Amen.